If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hussein's program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'd like to continue along the same line by asking you this question at the beginning of this session. Sheikh Javed, in some project, the employer's agent asks the contractor for an amount of money as sweets.
Right.
If the latter refuses, it may lead to some kinds of obstacles or losses to the contractor. What is the contractor's duty in such cases?
Well, paying and receiving such money is not permissible. And in these cases, you may take legal actions, or maybe you need to, if there is any possibility that the agent might want to harm you, or that he could create problem, then you may resort to legal solutions if the things do not work out.
I see. Well, I'm going to ask you something about the congregational prayer.
Yes.
When the imam of the prayer is in ruku, all right, or genuflection, a person starts his prayer and bows to ruku. Then he doubts whether or not he has reached imam's ruku. What rule actually applies to this prayer?
Well, in the state of doubt, the position is this, that his prayer is valid,
mm-hmm.
but he should continue his prayer individually.
Right.
Because he's not sure that he reached the imam while he was in his ruku. He was not certain. So, of course, he made his niyyah, and then he should continue his prayer in the state or in as farada, not as in jama'ah.
I see. Okay, another question would be regarding, in fact, having a second house.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask you whether it's prone to or subject to khums or not. If someone buys a second house in place other than his hometown,
right,
or a primary area of residence to spend, for example, let's say summers or holidays or vacations there, is he obliged or obligated to pay khums on the value of the second house?
Well, it depends on whether he needs the second house or not. Did he buy that second house for investment purpose or for his own needs?
Mm-hmm.
So if in the common perception of the general public, the second house is deemed as his need, okay, he is not liable for khums.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like the example you gave, you said that, okay, maybe he buys a house, for example, in the winter, he for his winter vacation, he goes there, he stays there for 1 or 2 months. He needs it, okay, when he goes to a city which is even colder in the summer season. So he has two houses which he needs at the same time. Of course, from the perspective of common people or general public, both of those houses are his house, which he needs. And if, for example, the second house is deemed to be a luxury item, Yes.
Yes.
It is subject to khums. He has to pay 1/5 of its market value as khums.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad Hossain, this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, the believers are, you know, sometimes you can see them in the mosque or some other places, who are incapable of performing the prostrations of the canonic prayers in their normal form.
Right.
Let's say due to old age, senility, or physical impairment and difficulty. These believers typically sit on a chair and perform their prostrations by placing their heads on a table in front of them. First of all, does this count as a valid prostration? And second, how should they position the seven body parts integral to the validity of a proper prostration?
Right. Well, if those who are incapable of performing the sujood in its standard form,
yes,
can bend over and place their heads on a table in front of them, they should do so. And of course, this would constitute the proper prostration or the proper sajda for them. Yeah. When it comes to the position of the seven body parts involved in sajda, of course, they should, as far as possible, observe the proper position or the closest position thereto, okay? Making sure that all seven parts are on the floor during sajda, if possible, as far as possible. Allah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not obligate a person beyond their capacity. So when it's not possible, it's not possible. So it's not necessary to worry. Likewise, it's not permissible for those who can place their heads on a table in front of them to place the turba on their forehead using their hands. That's not possible. But obviously, they are absolved of the requirement to place their knees on the ground, as the assumption is that they have to be seated on a chair because they cannot, for example, people who, for example, cannot stand, they have to sit on a chair. And people who cannot sit on a chair or they cannot do sajda on the turba placed on the table,
yes,
they can sit down on the floor or maybe lie down with their backs. It depends on what they can, okay? So depending on their excuse, of course. For a person who can sit, the placing the knees on the ground is absolved. He cannot do it.
Yes. And the other seven integral parts?
Yeah, the feet are placed.
Yes.
The hands are placed on the table.
Yes.
Okay. And then the forehead. So five organs are placed on the, you can say on the ground.
Excluding the knees.
Excluding the knees, yes, of course.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take another break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is it valid to join a congregational prayer when the congregants are in the final tashahhud of the prayer?
Right. Well, if the worshipper arrives at a congregational prayer when the imam is reciting the final tashahhud, in order to receive the reward of participating in the jama'at prayer, one is allowed to say the takbiratul ihram and then immediately proceed to sit and recite the tashahhud along with the imam of the jama'ah or congregation, stopping short of uttering the final salam or taslim because he has just joined the prayer. Mm-hmm. He cannot do the taslim along with the imam, of course. And when the imam is finished with the salam, the worshipper should proceed to stand up and without repeating the intention and commencing takbir mm-hmm. of the prayer, he should recite Suratul Hamd and the second surah as constituting the qara'ah of the first rak'ah of the prayer. So it will be counted as the first rak'ah because he has to recite Hamd and surah and then proceed to the ruku' and sujood. And again, he has to stand up and do the and recite Hamd and surah. So after he will gain the reward of the jama'at prayer, but then when the jama'at prayers ends, he will continue his prayer as farada, individual prayer.
I see. Sheikh Javid, does testimony concerning the wilaya of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, peace be upon him, in the tashahhud invalidate the prayers?
Well, this issue has begun to emerge in the subcontinent, Indian subcontinent. There are some people who want to sow seeds of differences and disunity among Shia Muslims by raising up this issue and creating doubts on the minds of the people, telling so-called scholars, telling that it is permissible to add to the prayer what is not part of the prayer. Like, for example, the wilaya of Imam Ali should be added to the prayer because it is an essential, very fundamental belief in the Shia Islam. Of course, there are many fundamental beliefs. We have no right whatsoever to add to the prayer what is not part of the prayer. And that's what we call bid'ah, okay?
Right.
Every right, every fundamental issue that we believe in cannot be added to the prayer because the prayer has its own shape and form, structure, which came to us and from the time of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. Now, in this time and age, we have no right to add to the prayer something which is not part of the prayer. So, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, the prayer, including the tashahhud, should be recited in the same way as the maraji of the religious authorities, the maraji al-taqlid, have mentioned in their books of Tawzih al-Masail, Practical Laws of Islam, and one should not add anything to it, even if it's true, even if it's correct.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear audience, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the topic we have had in this episode was some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Man La ilaha illa hum.
الظاهر والباطن ولا إله